For starters, you know, as you may know, Buenos Aires is one of the street art capitals of the world. It's a really cool place to just walk around. And Maradona is painted all over that city. There are pictures of him with halos. There are pictures of him in silhouette. There are big heroic pictures and there are tiny little stencils. He is literally everywhere.
Wright Thompson is a senior writer for ESPN. We asked him to share his reporting on soccer legend Diego Maradona and what his death means to his home country of Argentina.
I hate to sort of always try to view it through an American lens, but I really don't think there is an American version of this. He came along at such a specific time in Argentina's history, and he did it in a way that represented what people think of as the best of Argentina. I mean, he did it with swagger. He did it with machismo. He did it with brilliance, with dance, with power. Everything about Maradona feels like it represents the ultimate myth of Argentinian masculinity and Argentina citizenship.
The world lost one of the biggest names in sports when Diego Maradona died last week on November 25th at age 60. The man lived many lives. A young soccer star for a struggling Argentina who became an infamous global icon as his country reinvented itself. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, December 2nd. This is ESPN Daily. Right, Diego Maradona died in Argentina 1 week ago today, actually. And since then, we've seen both this local and international spectacle around his death. But before we get into why that is, why he's bigger than just soccer and deeply entwined with national identity, I want to clarify just how transcendent an athlete he was. How singular was Maradona the soccer player?
Diego Maradona is a world champion.
But now it's over.
Is one of the most creative and dominant goal scorers of any generation.
Maradona turns like a little eel and comes away from trouble. Outside Fennec leads him for dead and puts the ball away. And that is why Maradona is the greatest player in the world.
And one of the few people who've ever lived who could pick up a team and carry it on his back, like Cristiano Ronaldo or Leo Messi. Global soccer, global football is a game in which many stars rise and fall, most of them very quickly. And for 5 or 6 years, Diego Maradona was unquestionably the best player in the world. And had he acquired no cultural meaning, that would make him a legend.
And yet he did acquire not just cultural meaning, he really became this avatar for this entire national identity. And that is what your reporting from Argentina a few years ago demonstrated so clearly, right? So when he died at age 60, with the official cause being cardiac arrest, that wasn't totally shocking, given what we know about his life of truly staggering substance abuse. But there are all these reports of fans trying to get to his coffin, which is inside Argentina's presidential mansion. They're trying to climb over the fences. People are apparently chanting, "Diego is not dead. Diego lives in the people," as the coffin makes its way to the cemeteries. There's public mourning, but there's also this controversy that sprung up around how he died. Argentine officials write, raided the home of Maradona's doctor, and there is now an investigation into negligence or manslaughter. And it is, to be clear, completely plausible that Maradona died just because of his own unabashed negligence of his health. And yet there is now this other narrative emerging that it was somehow foul play. What do you see in all of that?
I mean, a lot of that flows from the dominant political orthodoxy in the country, which is Peronism. Scholars spend their whole lives studying it and trying to define it. But it basically, it is a political theory, governing theory, organizing theory, born out of Juan Perón and his wife Evita after him, that basically says there's no such thing as truth. And so I think a lot of what you were seeing is being processed from the outside world as love for an athlete, when really it feels to me, I mean, I've spent a decent amount of time in Argentina. It feels to me more like business as usual, which is there will very soon be two sets of facts about this, and there will be no mechanism in public, civic, or political life to sort them out.
And so this is the Argentina that Maradona was born into and grows up in. It is this country of intense political turmoil that turns into political violence. In 78, when the dictatorship was in power, Argentina hosted the World Cup, and Maradona was just a teenager at that point, this rising star in the country's junior leagues. Set the backdrop for us, right, of that World Cup in 1978.
There was a military junta dictatorship that ran Argentina, and when Argentina won the World Cup in 1978, this government was kidnapping its own citizens, putting them in concentration camps. And one of the concentration camps at a facility called ESMA was so close to the stadium that the people in the cells could hear the cheering. Then it sort of came out what had been happening blocks away from the stadium. And everybody was embarrassed that they were out celebrating a soccer team winning a game while their country was kidnapping and killing its own citizens. The shame people feel and almost never articulate over all of that period sort of lives in the World Cup. And so Argentina, which is a country that loves football or soccer, won the 1978 World Cup and then almost immediately had to erase it, because the only way to sort of keep going as a country was just, let's just not talk about this thing that happened.
This brutal regime eventually does fall in the early 1980s. Argentina invades the Falkland Islands, a British territory, and the English just destroy them. Out of all that bloodshed, a democracy emerges in Argentina. And for Maradona, he's this rising national star at home, and then he goes to play overseas in Spain and then in Italy, where he develops this deserved, frankly, reputation for partying and getting in fights. So smash cut to the World Cup of 1986 now. Maradona's on the Argentina national team. What is that like?
He was the best player in the world, representing a country that, even though we think of it as old, I mean, the Argentina he represented at that World Cup was 3 years old. I mean, that would be like the United States winning a World Cup, which wouldn't have existed, but in 1779. You know, when it was still trying to figure out what it was and what it could be and how it could go on. And so I think that in Maradona's World Cup in Mexico in 1986 was the first answer to that question. Like, who are we? We're champions. We are brilliant and dominant. We are sneaky and resilient. And we screwed over the English.
So we should be clear about what happens when Argentina gets to the quarterfinals with England. What happens, right?
He scores two goals in this game in the quarterfinals against England that sum up everything. On one hand, he just punched a ball into the net and didn't get caught.
England players protesting to the referee. Was it a use of the hand that England are complaining about?
Okay, this is known as the hand of God goal for those unfamiliar, and it's because Maradona basically just admits that he cheated. He He says in the post-game interview that the ball went into the net, quote, a little with his head and a little with the hand of God, end quote. And as you can imagine, the English were not happy.
The English whining about it lands on Argentinian ears like Revolutionary War redcoat generals complaining about American guerrilla armies. It's not like people are like, oh, we won because we cheated. It's like, there's no such thing as cheating. This is war. And he scored this goal that everyone has seen, even if you don't know you've seen it. I mean, yes. It is impossible to exist in the culture, especially the sports culture, without having seen this goal, where he basically just runs through the entire English defense like the children.
And he's hurting England again here. It's a brilliant run. It's one of the world's great goals. And there's no doubt about that one.
I mean, this is both on display Argentinian resourcefulness and Argentinian power. He had a fabulous global career before and after that. But in many ways, Diego Maradona only needed to score two goals to have people stand outside the presidential palace this week and chant, Diego is not dead, he lives in the hearts of the people. That's all he had to do. And not just those two goals, but the way in which he scored those two goals and how they made people feel about themselves, namely, for the first time in a long time, good.
And it's worth pointing out that Argentina doesn't just feel really good about winning. They get to celebrate without shame, very much unlike what happened when they won in 78. They are suddenly this new country with a massive, massive star. And it seems like they can just let it all hang out.
I mean, if it sometimes feels like Diego Maradona was worshipped twice as much for winning a World Cup as seems reasonable, it's because that's exactly true. He was someone that they invested very complicated ideas about their own perceived inferiority and then triumph.
All right, coming up right. More on Maradona's indelible imprint on Argentina that even the worst scandals can't seem to touch.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So Maradona is this unquestioned, absolute, forever hero for winning the World Cup for Argentina. And he did all that, really, almost by himself. But the flip side, right, to all of that glory on the field is a dark side, a very dark personal life. And that all started before the 1986 win. So how bad did things get?
I don't know what the scale is. You know, I mean, but it was really, really bad. And sad and desperate. And we like to laugh and make jokes about self-destruction, but self-destruction, I mean, it is certainly fueled by just simple old addiction. Like, let's don't romanticize it. This guy got addicted to cocaine and it was fun for a while when he was running around Naples with the mafia, and then it wasn't fun anymore. I mean, that's the arc of all addiction. There is a paragraph I wrote somewhere. Let's see. Yeah. Here's some of Maradona's many transgressions forgiven by the people of Argentina. He drop-kicked an opponent in a game. Photographs emerged of him partying with the Napoli-based Camorra, perhaps the nastiest of the nasty Italian mafias, just before his Napoli side may or may not have thrown Italy's Serie A championship. He tested positive for coke. An Italian prosecutor charged him with supplying cocaine to prostitutes. The prostitutes told unbelievable tales of Caligula-like orgies fueled with cocaine and liquor. The word fueled appeared in a lot of stories, as did the word allegedly. A Brazilian prostitute named Susie said Maradona hated condoms and loved sucking her big toe. Cops in Buenos Aires arrested him with a half kilo of cocaine, and he just walked away. He ran through four stoplights in Seville, Spain, in his Porsche. Cops chased him for a mile before he was stopped. A year later, he was sent home from the 1994 World Cup for performance-enhancing drugs. He allegedly smuggled more than 3 kilos of cocaine to Rome for the Italian mob. He suffered a heart attack after an alleged overdose. He went to rehab. Photographers caught him having coked-out sex parties in rehab. After the birth of an illegitimate son, Maradona refused a relationship with the boy even after a court ordered him to pay. "A judge has obliged me to pay support," he said at the time, "but that does not obligate me to feel love for him." I mean, this goes on and on and on.
Right. I am processing all of those details, attempting to, and I am so curious how fans of his and his country, how they process this. How do they process all of those insane details?
Who Maradona is in people's hearts has nothing to do with Maradona or anything Maradona did. The only thing that matters are those 2 goals against England. Mm. And so our ability to ignore inconvenient facts is just part of sports fandom. But combine that with the need for someone like Maradona 3 years after the first presidential election in Argentina, combined with the sort of cultural muscle memory of Peronism and the lack of objective truth. And I think that the love for Maradona exists in that sort of magical place beyond language. And like when you try to parse it out, it doesn't make sense. It won't ever make sense.
One of the most conspicuous tributes we've seen for Maradona's death came from the other soccer hero that is so interwoven with Argentina in Leo Messi. On Sunday, the superstar for Barcelona had this goal in his La Liga match against Osasuna.
Messi drives to the 18. Messi parks it in the back of the net.
And Messi took off his jersey to reveal a Maradona jersey underneath.
And here is the wonderful tribute to the number 10 of yesteryear.
He looks to the heavens and blows this kiss.
And he says, "Diego, this one's for you."
What did you think when you saw that?
Man, there was a lot of complicated stuff going on. I mean, they've had a very complicated relationship. He has always been overshadowed by Maradona, and frankly, by just Maradona swaggering. And so, you know, Messi gets a lot of crap in Argentina by people saying, "Oh, he doesn't sing the national anthem, and he doesn't love the country like Maradona loves the country. And he's never been able to replicate his club success with the national team." And so Messi has always been followed and shadowed by the myth of Maradona. He has these deep feelings of love for the country that don't feel often reciprocated. For him to do that, I mean, I saw the part of Leo Messi that loves his country and that loves his family there and that wishes that people would feel about him one day the way they feel about Maradona.
Let's get into the different perceptions of these two greats in just a moment.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you people wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first one or for your fashionista mom who likes to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate with them both. You can shop by price anywhere from $25 and under to, say, $100 and below. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything, or even pre-wrapped gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So, what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Right, I'm curious. When you go looking for Messi in Argentina, like, what do you see? Do you see those paintings? Do you see the street art? What do you get?
I think I've seen one mural of Messi in Argentina. Now, I haven't been to Argentina in a couple of years, but I mean, he doesn't exist in that godlike society. He isn't reflected as a deity back at you. I mean, one of the things I did notice is that he is reflected in the generation of Argentinians born after this World Cup. I mean, he was born in 1987. Mm. I mean, that makes him sort of the perfect vessel. You know, I remember it was a graffiti artist I went and talked to who's very famous in Buenos Aires. And, you know, what he said to me is, I prefer Messi. You know, I prefer the quiet Argentines. He said, this guy represents the new generation. I feel more connected with Messi than Maradona. And so I think you won't see Messi up like a god because Argentina is a different place. I think you will see him reflected in the sort of secularness of a generation.
So the time when Messi and Maradona collided, that was around the World Cup in 2010, when they end up working together as manager and player. How did that all go?
I mean, it went real bad because for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, if you have the best player in the world, star systems exist for a reason. You know, the whole thing should run around Messi. What do you want? And there isn't enough room in the world for Maradona and anyone else in a room. There wasn't. And I mean, it went terribly, terribly bad.
Do you think Messi could ever be as beloved as Maradona?
No, I mean, he won't ever be Maradona, which is probably good. You know, I mean, would you rather be Messi or Maradona? I'd rather be Messi.
Yeah. I mean, I am not somebody whose constitution would ever physically, biologically be able to tolerate all of those headlines that you read out personally.
But it's also like, you know, Tupac, all I want is money, the fame, I'm a simple man. I mean, you get the sense that you would rather live Messi's life. Messi exists as a really great athlete. He isn't a symbol of anything. I mean, that makes him not as beloved, but it also makes his life considerably easier. I mean, Maradona was much closer to, you know, a battleship or a flag on top of a very tall pole than a human being. And like, you know, that never turns out good for people. In some ways, Maradona overshadowed Messi, but in other ways, Maradona gave Messi the freedom to be someone who excelled at his craft, period.
This is super unfair to do to you because I'm about to put you on the spot.
Oh, I love that.
If you had to write an epitaph, Wright Thompson, for Diego Maradona, what would it be?
Boy, that's a really tough question. I think it would be, he took a nation of people on his shoulders and the weight of that crushed him. Rest in peace.
Wright Thompson, thank you for joining us on ESPN Daily.
Thank you so much. This was really great.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.